You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As you know, it wouldn't be much of a market update if we didn't actually update the markets. I'm joined on the line by portfolio manager at Rand Swiss, Viv Govender, to take a look at the market movements throughout the day and see if we can make sense of the day that was. Good evening, Viv. Lovely to speak to you again. Markets today, I can't make heads or tails of what's going on. We saw the US election result come through. We saw that sentiment kind of filter through into the markets. The dollar gained strength. We kind of got past that. But we've started off this week and nothing seems to make sense.
I think it does. If you think of it as like, you know, what's the drivers out there? And the big driver for our market today was the resource sector down, you know, quite substantially. And the reason for that is quite simple. If you look globally, the number one demander of commodities is China. It's not only the largest or second largest economy in the world, but in terms of its GDP, it actually consumes a great deal more commodities than you would think based on its GDP. And the stimulus package that they had come out recently focused on things that the market did not really like. Basically trying to rescue their local governments as opposed to stimulating the overall economy. And that's why you see, for instance, you know, the Hang Seng under pressure, down about 1.5% today. And you see Chinese, you see commodity markets, like I said, the resource sector down, you know, to quite substantially today. That's the overall reason that we are seeing our overall market as negative as it is at the moment.
Viv, when we look at the commodity space, that would obviously be driving some of the resource counters. We see platinum and palladium pricing softer, but gold pricing as well, more than 2.5% down on the day's trade. Obviously, we saw an initial kind of knee-jerk reaction from 27.50 down to 26.50 when Donald Trump won that election result and became the president-elect of the United States. What's kind of happening here? Are we seeing a risk-off sentiment come into the market? What's driving this? Obviously, the correlation to the dollar might have something to do with it.
I think it's more of a risk-on sentiment because, I mean, why do you want to be holding some yellow metal when you can buy, like, Tesla, which is up massively in the last couple of days, or, you know, Bitcoin, as the other example I would give. And I always think that people underestimate the substitution effect of Bitcoin versus gold. Because think of it, you have Bitcoin and you have gold for the similar kind of reasons that the world's falling apart and you want the thing that's basically not going to be affected by inflation. If you look at the price of Bitcoin over the last 5 days, it's up like 12%. And that obviously would indicate that people are going towards it. And I think that's probably one of the reasons we are seeing this kind of pressure on gold as well. But likewise, I mean, if you look at, like I mentioned, if you look at the FAANG prices, the FAANG stocks over the last couple of days, especially things like, I said, Tesla, Tesla's share price is up another 10% today. And basically the last 5 days, this thing is up 42%. If people ever ask you, what's one of the best investments ever made? It might be the Elon Musk purchase of Twitter. Because, yes, he may have lost, I think, $20 billion on that, but he's probably made double that back on the valuation increases in SpaceX and Tesla in the last week. And I think also, if you look at, for instance, some of the other big U.S. Companies out there, you'd find, like, for instance, even Amazon up 5% over the last week or so, even though it might not be earning as much as Tesla, but it's still seeing all these tech companies doing really well. In that scenario, why do you want to go buy some yellow metal that's going to sit in the vault and protect yourself from, inflation or whatever?
Viv, the contrarian view on that is because the fact that we are going to go into a recession at some point. There's a couple of indications that point towards that. There's other indications that point to the fact that we're not even going to get close to that. What are your views on where we stand at the moment? We've kind of seen that the U.S. has pretty much, especially from a Fed perspective, nailed it on bringing inflation down, managing interest rates, managing that narrative and doing their job there. Do you think we have the recession conversation still on the table?
Oh, yeah, most certainly. I mean, you look at the non-farm payroll numbers that came out recently. They were very, very, shocking.
The 12,000.
12,000 versus basically 10 times as much expected. And so, obviously, that was also, to a certain extent, there were natural disasters and there were strikes affecting it possibly. So there's indicators that we are going to be seeing, pressure on the U.S. But that being said, I mean, if you look at Donald Trump's, objectives, without looking at some of the culture war stuff, just the economic stuff, yes, he's talking about tariffs. He's also talking about reducing regulation. He's also talking about, easing up on things like energy production, with producing oil from the ground, nuclear. is a big thing with him as well. I mean, these are a lot of things that could very easily give the US a bit of a jump start over the next, say, 3-4 years. And I think it might be a temporary, like, you know, recession if we are actually heading to that pathway already. But there's things that he's saying in his plans going forward, excluding the tariff stuff, which I might say is probably negative for all of the world. But I think you could be easily seeing, you know, an extra jump up in U.S. growth rates over the next few years if you can basically remove onerous regulation, if you can remove, you know, some of the barriers to things like energy production. The U.S. could be doing really well, especially if you consider the fact that, you know, some of the new technologies coming out, the space technology, which we, one of the reasons Elon Musk got involved in with Donald Trump was to get the space stuff, you know, running up faster. You could look at the AI stuff as well. You know, Donald Trump is more likely than Biden to be more liberal on the AI policy. So I think you could be seeing this kind of industrial action, at least the short term or to medium term, you know, boosting economic growth in the U.S.
Speaking of the U.S., Viv, I'm just having a quick squiz at the latest polling numbers. The Republicans have taken the presidency, they've taken the Senate, and it looks like they are dangerously close to taking the House of Representatives. If that does pan out and that does play out that way, how much more does that strengthen the case that you just laid forward about the fact that people like Elon Musk would be looking forward to deregulation in certain areas?
I don't even think they need the House for that, quite frankly.
Mm.
The House basically, if you're looking at things like, for instance, you know, budgets, you're looking at things like creating laws, it's fine, you're the House. But if you want to get somebody in charge of the EPA, you want to get somebody in charge of the FDA, you do not need the House, you only need the Senate. And they already have 53 Senate votes. And if you look at the fact that they would have the presidency, which gives them that extra tiebreaker vote, so effectively, they have a 4-vote margin. In order to get things through. So the Biden administration was kind of hamstrung, which they only had like a 2-vote margin. And if two of the senators basically turned against them, they couldn't do anything. And that was one of the reasons that they couldn't, you know, push as much as they wanted to on basically infrastructure, et cetera. I think it was Mnuchin and some other one, I can't remember the other senator's name, but there's two senators that basically held a lot of the stuff up. The Republicans have, in effect, twice as much. They need 4 people to step up and basically stop that. So I think that is the one advantage they have. Yes, they will need the House if they want to basically pass like laws and so on. And like you said, I mean, I think the latest odds are something like about an 80% chance that they are going to win the House as well. And, you know, there's a few, they're at basically 216 seats at the moment. They need 218. And I think they are basically, they've got, as we've got Alaska, they've got, you know, one in California, they've got one in Arizona where they are leading by about 1% or so. And if they can get like 2 more of those seats through, they will basically have, you know, the House as well, though by a smaller margin, which would make them much more vulnerable to, you know, pressure from 1 or 2 members there.
Viv, when we look at all these macro factors and the dynamics at play, the Rand kind of sits in a weird space as an emerging market currency. And I want to look at just today. Today's been a day of weakness for the Rand. Obviously, with what's happened on the commodity side, we can expect that we'd see softer prices on the equity side of it. But the Rand losing ground against all of the majors, right down to the Australian dollar.
Yeah, look, I mean, we obviously are seeing a bit of pressure coming through from Africa at the moment. I think people are looking at what's happening in China and the fact that we obviously are, you know, under a bit of pressure with regards to some of our exports to China. That's why one of the reasons we're seeing this commodity market as under pressure as it is. You know, also, we're looking at our own local economy. Local economic figures are, you know, important. And I think the market is obviously wanting to see just how well we are basically getting out of our weak numbers, you know, that we've been historically experiencing. We're also going to have some production figures out this week as well that might be, you know, important in terms of just our ability to supply stuff as just the demand out in the global market. So there's a couple of factors out there. But the Rand has been very volatile. I mean, a couple of days ago, we were sitting in the 1720s, now in the 1790s. I think the market really doesn't know where it's going at the moment. That's why you're seeing this kind of volatility. I wouldn't say for certain that there's a trend that the market's definitely certain over the Rand's weakening or the Rand's strengthening at the moment.
There's still lots up in the air. We're hopefully going to have some form of clarity or at least some easing of the pressure that's out there. But for now, we'll leave it at that. Viv, thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Always lovely speaking to you. Viv Governor, Portfolio Manager at Rand Swiss, on the market movements throughout the day and what could potentially be driving some of the sentiment.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.